Next up, we have our Left and the Law team, Mike Snedeker and Jan Hocken. They're here to talk about the death penalty, California's moratorium on it, and the Supreme Court's 3 a.m. decision with no discussion to let an Alabama execution go forward, overriding the victim's petition for a less painful form of execution. Jan.
Well, Mike, let's start with the big picture on capital punishment. And certainly in reviewing the current political landscape for abolishing the death penalty, the picture looks very different on state and federal levels. Can you describe that terrain for abolitionists, the term commonly used to describe the movement to end capital punishment? And then we'll talk about some of what's happened last week with the Supreme Court.
Well, Jan, the difference is very stark between the states and the federal government, an exact reversal of how things were 50 years ago when the U.S. Supreme Court was leading the way toward abolishing the death penalty, but it was all alone. Now, the U.S.
There was something like 80 to 90% of Americans supported the death penalty, right, during those years.
Well, very strong, and certainly every state legislature promptly passed laws seeking to comport with the U.S. Supreme Court's definition of what might be legal. But now, everything is backwards. At the federal level, we have Trump's new appointees making a dramatic difference in this area. Very recently, in addition to the case that Clayton mentioned, they decided a case called Buckley, which was dealing with permissible methods of execution. And Mr. Buckley suffers from a very rare disease called cavernous hemangioma, which means that he has tumors filled with blood through his chest and up into his throat. It's very clear that if he dies by lethal injection, that the tumors will pop. He will choke on his own blood. It will be messy. It'll be painful. And he offered, as he's supposed to be allowed to do so, an alternative method of execution, nitrogen. But the U.S. Supreme Court rejected that. They did a summary of the history of killing people in the United States. Neil Gorsuch wrote the lead opinion. He said hangings were basically often very bloody, messy, and ugly businesses, but that didn't stop them from proceeding. And we shouldn't be stopped from letting the states kill people however they want. And his opinion took basically a hard shot at Justice Kennedy's notion of the evolving standards of decency, an idea that preceded Kennedy. But in this context, he was given real legs by him because it was the basis for categorically exempting intellectually disabled people and young people from being executed. He basically said that we should go back to how it was in the late 18th century. Very selective, of course, because like jurors were not qualified for death juries back then.
In a way, is the hard edge of right-wing politics more exposed here, like around the border where, I mean, years ago there was a lot more scientific rationalizing of the death penalty. Of course, procedures that protected witnesses from seeing the cruelty of it and the suffering, a lot of arguments about it as a deterrent. But those quasi-pseudo-scientific rationales aren't trotted out anymore. It's kind of like it's a very Old Testament, an eye for an eye thinking that prevails around this, and it's not dressed up. That old skeleton in the American legal closet is not dressed up anymore. It's kind of laid bare, the bones of it, which are pretty horrific.
That's true. And he ended his opinion with an extended rant against clever defense lawyers who try to delay things. And he regarded delay as the ultimate evil here, not torture.
Yeah, and that has been also argued in the movement against capital punishment, that it takes a long time. I mean, there are conservatives who also argue for abolishing the death penalty on the grounds that it takes a long time to kill someone with all these reviews that are part of the process.
Well, we could turn to a much brighter corner, and that is the states. And last Friday, New Hampshire passed a veto-proof majority, passed a law abolishing the death penalty.
Even though the governor threatened to veto it.
He did, in fact, veto it, but now they have an even stronger majority. a mixture of conservative and liberal people. Because conservatives are, you know, as it's a complicated word, just like liberal is, but there's all kinds of conservative people who were effectively stunned by DNA into realizing that, yes, crime and punishment is government work, just like all this other government work, who no longer just assume automatically that people are properly convicted. There have been so many exonerations. So that's made them look twice at the whole process and see how expensive it is, how futile it is, how little it does to deter crime. Once again, how expensive it is.
It's kind of like abortion, where there can be a fixation or a fetishizing of this issue that is quite blind to everything around it. And there are people who are deeply invested in capital punishment and blind to all of the evidence that questions it on moral, practical, economic grounds.
There are fewer and fewer of those people. Unfortunately, many of them reside on the U.S. Supreme Court. But out in the real world, the state of Washington, the court there abolished the death penalty because very careful studies designed over years showed that it was intractably racist, that there's nothing that could be done effectively because of all the discretion invested in the jurors to stop that racism. The only thing to do was to abolish it. And that's been very widely accepted. It's not really controversial. There's no big wells up of outrage from anyone.
Are there different implications to a moratorium versus an outright law? I mean, clearly a moratorium puts some of this in limbo, but what distinction would we want to make there?
Well, there are now moratoriums in Pennsylvania.
And in our state.
Colorado, Oregon, and most dramatically in California, where over a quarter of everyone on death row lives. So that's the most decisive move. But states have, in every manner available, through executive action with moratoriums, through legislation, through court decisions, have been moving away from the death penalty. The number of executions has dropped from 80 or 90 a year toward the end of the last century to about 20 to 25 a year.
Your work is, you're an appellate lawyer and defend prisoners on death row in California. What is that process like then? Or what is it like for people on death row then when a moratorium is established? What is the practical effect on their lives?
Well, it's a relief in that something is removed, but it's not very dramatic because there has been effectively a moratorium in California since 2006. Nobody's been killed. There's been all kinds of struggling over Administrative Procedures Act efforts to change the way of method of killing somebody. In Oregon, there's lots of experience in it because there's been a moratorium since 2011. It has not stopped any litigation, because the governor could change her mind tomorrow morning.
Right, right.
So everything continues pretty much as is. But in California, there was one significant difference. Governor Newsom not only decreed that there would be a moratorium, but he also stopped the whole process of trying to comply with the Administrative Procedures Act. Now, that's been used very skillfully for people in support of immigrants and against Trump's environmental measures. The Administrative Procedures Act can be an effective shield. By getting rid of that whole process, withdrawing the state's efforts, that means if somebody wants to start up the process again, they're going to take them a year or 2 years to
do
it.
So a lot of this work at the local level depends very heavily on community support. I know the death penalty can be handed down only if the accuser has specifically decided to seek it. So I think community support for alternative not only to the death penalty, but other forms of sentencing. And I think KBOO is part of that community mobilization that has led to some of the successes of the abolitionist movement on local levels.
Absolutely. That's what prevails. We can no longer rely on wise overlords to do the right thing. It's got to be done at a community level. It's been effective in Oregon. There's laws now in the legislature that would cut back or eliminate entirely the death penalty, and that's due to people on the ground speaking up.
So this is Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker talking today about the political landscape for abolishing the death penalty and how we have to look to the local to reach global justice.